Finally, the enemy began to close in on him too tightly. Then, suddenly, Ender's formation burst. His fleet seemed to melt into chaos. The 80 fighters seemed to follow no plan at all, firing at enemy ships at random, working their way into hopeless, individual paths among the bugger craft. After a few minutes of battle, however, Ender whispered to his squadron leaders once more, and suddenly a dozen of the remaining fighters formed again into a formation. But now they were on the far side of one of the enemy's most formidable groups. They had, with terrible losses, passed through, and now they had covered more than half the distance to the enemy's planet. "The enemy sees now," thought Ender. "Surely Mazer sees what I'm doing, or perhaps Mazer cannot believe that I would do it. Well, so much the better for me." Ender's tiny fleet darted this way and that, sending two or three fighters out as if to attack, then bringing them back. The enemy closed in, drawing in ships and formations that had been widely scattered, bringing them in for the kill. The enemy was most concentrated beyond Ender, so he could not escape back into open space, closing him in. "Excellent," thought Ender. "Closer. Come closer." Then he whispered a command, and the ships dropped like rocks toward the planet's surface. They were starships and fighters, completely unequipped to handle the heat of passage through an atmosphere, but Ender never intended them to reach the atmosphere. Almost from the moment they began to drop, they were focusing their little doctors on one thing only: the planet itself. 1, 2, 4, 7 of his fighters were blown away. It was all a gamble now whether any of his ships would survive long enough to get in range. It would not take long once they could focus on the planet's surface. "Just a moment with Dr. Device, that's all I want." It occurred to Ender that perhaps the computer wasn't even equipped to show what would happen to a planet if the little doctor attacked it. "What will I do then? Shout, 'Bang, you're dead'?" Ender took his hands off the controls and leaned in to watch what happened. The perspective was close to the enemy planet now, as the ship hurtled into its well of gravity. "Surely it's in range now," thought Ender. "It must be in range, and the computer can't handle it." Then, the surface of the planet, which filled half the simulator field now, began to bubble. There was a gout of explosion, hurling debris out toward Ender's fighters. Ender tried to imagine what was happening inside the planet, the field growing and growing, the molecules bursting apart but finding nowhere for the separate atoms to go. Within 3 seconds, the entire planet burst apart, becoming a sphere of bright dust hurtling outward. Ender's fighters were among the first to go. Their perspective suddenly vanished, and now the simulator could only display the perspective of the starships waiting beyond the edges of the battle. It was as close as Ender wanted to be. The sphere of the exploding planet grew outward faster than the enemy ships could avoid it, and it carried with it the little doctor, not so little anymore, the field taking apart every ship in its path, erupting each one into a dot of light before it went on. Only at the very periphery of the simulator did the MD field weaken. Two or three enemy ships were drifting away. Ender's own starships did not explode, but where the vast enemy fleet had been, and the planet they protected, there was nothing meaningful. A lump of dirt was growing as gravity drew much of the debris downward again. It was glowing hot and spinning visibly. It was also much smaller than the world had been before. Much of its mass was now a cloud still flowing outward. Ender took off his headphones, filled with the cheers of his squadron leaders, and only then realized that there was just as much noise in the room with him. Men in uniform were hugging each other, laughing, shouting. Others were weeping. Some knelt or lay prostrate, and Ender knew they were caught up in prayer. Ender didn't understand. It seemed all wrong. They were supposed to be angry. Colonel Graff detached himself from the others and came to Ender. Tears streamed down his face, but he was smiling. He bent over, reached out his arms, and to Ender's surprise, he embraced him, held him tightly, and whispered, "Thank you." Thank you, Ender. Thank God for you, Ender. And others soon came too, shaking his hand, congratulating him. He tried to make sense of this. Had he passed the test after all? It was his victory, not theirs, and a hollow one at that, a cheat. Why did they act as if he had won with honor? The crowd parted, and Mazur Rackham walked through. He came straight to Ender and held out his hand. You made the hard choice, boy. All or nothing. End them or end us. But heaven knows there was no other way you could have done it. Congratulations. You beat them, and it's all over. All over. Beat them. Ender didn't understand. I beat you. Mazur laughed, a loud laugh that filled the room. Ender, you never played me. You never played a game since I became your enemy. Ender didn't get the joke. He had played a great many games, at a terrible cost to himself. He began to get angry. Mazur reached out and touched his shoulder. Ender shrugged him off. Mazur then grew serious and said, Ender, for the past few months, you have been the battle commander of our fleets. This was the third invasion. There were no games. The battles were real, and the only enemy you fought was the buggers. You won every battle, and today you finally fought them at their home world, where the queen was, all the queens from all their colonies. They all were there, and you destroyed them completely. They'll never attack us again. You did it. You. Real. Not a game. Ender's mind was too tired to cope with it all. They weren't just points of light in the air. They were real ships that he had fought with, and real ships he had destroyed, and a real world that he had blasted into oblivion. He walked through the crowd, dodging their congratulations, ignoring their hands, their words, their rejoicing. When he got to his own room, he stripped off his clothes, climbed into bed, and slept.